Good afternoon, Eastern Washington and fellow Patriots, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story, and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left, it's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but also moving to action, the gospel of the kingdom. Isaiah 61, 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Now, a lot of times we have prayer rooms, war rooms. And I heard something today, and I really like it because it really should be a listening room. Too often we think we got to fill empty space with words instead of just listening to the Lord God and where he's guiding us, what he's saying for our lives for a specific situation. And all of us are supposed to be praying about each other in that way. What's the Lord's will in that family member's life or that friend's life? Because sometimes God will give us something that will then be witnessed to by them, or vice versa. We give them something that we'll witness to. And so we know then that the Lord is moving. That hearts right now are being changed in a way that few times in American history it's ever happened. Last Friday, 3,000 plus Americans marched in downtown Spokane. A wonderful police escort actually helped block the roads, so we walked across the Monroe Street Bridge right into the heart of downtown Spokane, right down to City Hall from the arena. First, we went to the health building, and then we went down to the arena. And the media barely reported about it because it goes against the narrative. I've been receiving messages from friends in New Zealand and Australia, reports from Europe that similar huge protests are happening against the powers that be and their ridiculous mandates. First of all, with a 99.5% survival rate, there is no justification for a mandate, period, right there. Just scientifically, medically, ridiculous. Number two, masks are useless at stopping a virus. In fact, on the side of the box, it even says that. They're not for prevention of communicable disease. And in addition to that, if you actually do the math, it is like a chain link fence trying to stop a mosquito, literally. So many people around here are saying, hey, wait a minute, something just isn't right. And today I am hearing all kinds of things. A fire chief is now going to be resigning in 2022, and covering it up. Oh, I was always planning on resigning. Yeah, because you had such backlash by the rank and file firefighters here in Spokane County. That's why you're resigning, and you should do it sooner than 2022. If you're that far out of touch and you're trying to push your progressive nonsense on hardworking Americans, yeah, you should resign earlier. But There are others, too, not just firefighters. Nurses and doctors and dentists have now, after that rally last Friday, have banded together to be a Spokane frontline nurses and doctors network. I love it. And it's more than that. It's just all of healthcare. America's frontline doctor, Dr. Simone Gold, has put together a fantastic website. If you really want, you know, a cutting-edge fighter, go to that website. In addition to that, Health Freedom Network has, and Health Freedom Defense Fund have also done that. People are banding together right now saying enough is enough. And there are other people in maybe arenas that you wouldn't generally think would stand up. For example, today in Washington State, a very brave man sent an email to the Washington State Department of Transportation Secretary, Roger Millar. And I'm going to read a couple things from this letter. So there's a whole bunch of transportation employees now standing up in the center of this state saying no. Listen to this. You need to know that the potential for negative outcomes resulting from the governor's vaccine mandate may be much larger and more catastrophic than the governor anticipates, and may include the collapse of public safety for Washington State citizenry. After the governor issued his vaccine mandate, a resistance group rapidly formed in the WSDOT South Central region. The group, known as SAM, South Central Region Against the Mandate, took advantage of two SCR region-wide webinars on August 16, 2021, to announce the presence of SAM and to deliver a message reflecting the concerns I am voicing to you today. SAM is large and continues to grow not only in numbers, but also in connections with other agencies and other groups across the state, including but not limited to the WSDOT Maintenance, State Patrol, local law enforcement, fire departments, nurses, and state corrections. Yeah, I know. This is what this guy's letter says. It's incredible. I know. Then listen to this. The mandate followed by the release of a short-sighted, ignorant, and insulting religious exemption form by WSDOT demonstrates that the governor is narrowly focused on achieving his end, the vaccination of all citizens. This tunnel vision has blinded him from understanding the tidal wave of dissent that is building, the resolve that is taking shape, and the determination that is being hardened to resist at all costs. He is out of touch with reality on the ground. End quote. Fantastic letter. I think I'm going to post this. It's a public record. This man, Jeffrey Gray, an absolutely outstanding patriot today. And so you're seeing this. Be encouraged, everybody listening to the radio. You are seeing a massive groundswell right now against this tyranny from Governor Inslee and his henchmen and A.G. Ferguson. You are seeing it happen right now. We've been waiting for this for years. It's happening right now. Enough is enough. And these people are saying, just shut up and get your vaccine. They never read. They don't really read, because if they read, they wouldn't be saying things like that. You read the statistics, the math. It doesn't make any sense. A 99.5% survival rate for the vast majority of Americans. Why would you get an experimental vaccine? Oh, wait a minute, though. Pfizer was just approved, but it really wasn't approved. There's a whole series of tests over the next few years. And even more important than that, it had dropped below 50% efficacy rate. It dropped to 41%, which is why they rushed to approve it so quickly, because otherwise it would have fallen outside of the parameters for an experimental use. Bet you guys didn't know that. Interestingly enough, the media walks in lockstep, which when a media does that, that's propaganda. They become propaganda arms. So the Socialist Review, the Inslander, KXLY. They become an arm of the propaganda machine. And people have had enough. Due to the blackout that happened with the media on the rally last Friday, many people are saying, yeah, you guys were right. The media really is lying. The media is part of this. And so, and it was a virtual blackout. There were some snippets out there, just to be fair. There were some snippets that were out there. But 3,000 people walking across the Monroe Street Bridge, well, that's an image they can never erase. And here's my point with all this. Right now, we are supposed to be walking out the kingdom as Christians. We, the people, are the government of the United States of America. We, the people, are. In other words, the great genius of the founding fathers was that the temple of the Holy Spirit, the body of the believer, is the government of the United States. There is no king but Jesus. And people are beginning to realize it should be the politicians that lose their jobs, not hardworking Americans. They're realizing that there are people who care more about money than they do about anything else, and they're willing to ruin the lives of millions of Americans. They have a problem, though. Those millions of Americans are the backbone of healthcare, the backbone of DSHS, the backbone of the WSDOT, the backbone of law enforcement, the backbone of first responders, the backbone of the school system, the backbone, I love this too, of the church. People have had enough fake. We have a fake president. We have a fake foreign policy. We have fake Christians. But all of that is being exposed right now. And that is a good thing. For all of us, we need to be prepared to walk the kingdom out in this great opportunity to restore this republic. And that's the briefing. Remember the, well, wait a minute. Do you guys want to hear some news? Okay, let's do some news. Somebody is texting too quickly, but I love it. We're going to start in Afghanistan. Now, remember too, in Afghanistan, that the target is Christians. Next month, they're going to target Christians here in America with these show trials on January 6th. The so-called insurrection, it was not, clearly. It's been now proven it was not. What is going to happen is people are going to say, hey, Christians are now being targeted. What do we do? Well, what we do is we continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We continue to make disciples everywhere we go. And We need to not worry about deliverances and healings and watching the Lord move as much as we need, or even liberty, as much as we need to focus on Jesus Christ and just being in his presence, in the wake of his presence in our lives, all of those other things are going to follow. Afghanistan. I want everybody to pray about this too. And if you know anybody, I want everybody to listen carefully. If you know anybody that is stuck over there right now, having a problem getting out, I want you to contact me immediately. You can send me a message on Facebook. You can email me at matt@voteshay.com or pastor@spokaneonfire.church. So shoot me an email. Let me know if somebody overseas is stuck. There is the opportunity to try to help some of those people. So please shoot me a message if you hear this and this resonates with you and you've got somebody that you know of. Right now, coming to us from Debka File, they're the Taliban. There will be no extension for foreign troop withdrawal. I think they kind of forget that we have air superiority over there. But with the pretender in office, they're that bold to just try to rub it in the face of the United States. But here's the real target. A Christian ministry that has worked for years in Afghanistan has confirmed that the Taliban in power, because of Joe Biden's abrupt withdrawal of American troops without a plan to evacuate endangered citizens ahead of the power change, is going door to door in a hunt for Christians to be executed. The front Frontier Alliance International Ministry revealed in a statement that the atrocities are confirmed by firsthand ground reports. The Taliban has, quote, the Taliban has a hit list of known Christians they are targeting to pursue and kill, end quote. This is about an attempt to wipe out Christianity. Never works. So let's lift those Christians up in prayer right now. Father God, we just lift up our brothers and sisters over there in Afghanistan right now. We thank you for giving them courage. Lord, we just ask that you would embolden them, that you would buoy them up in this time. And we thank you for releasing your angelic host to go ahead of those folks and make a way where there is no way. And Lord, we just ask for protection over them right now. And we plead your blood, Jesus Christ, over this whole situation. In your mighty name, amen. Now, in addition to that, what's going on in Afghanistan? Coming to us from Revolver, a professor reveals the horror of Australia's tyrannical COVID lockdowns. What is going on is that Sydney, in the ninth week of lockdown, individuals can be fined $5,000 for leaving their homes for even fewer reasons. Nature reserves are closed. There's a curfew in effect. Lockdown regulations are arbitrary, which is a sign of communism, by the way. Communist regulations are always arbitrary, so they always catch you with something. Oh, Matt, they're not communists. They're socialists. Yeah, okay, so that is communism. Study your history and what their own mouths say about that stuff, that socialism is an intermediary step. Beaches are closed. Interstate travel is impossible. Federal ban on outgoing travel. Cannot even return home from overseas. Australians can't. Full force of the police and military are summoned to disperse and arrest protesters. They're going door to door. Police pepper spray and use rubber bullets on people. Guys, this is literally totalitarianism. By very definition, it is. Which brings us to the national front. And to the regional front. But first, we're going to go to the national front. Coming to us from Populist Press, Schiff makes big prediction about Joe Biden. The United States will likely not complete evacuating Americans and others from Taliban-held Afghanistan by its self-imposed August 30th deadline. They literally are preparing to leave Americans overseas. I can't even. There's a book called Soldiers of Misfortune. Soldiers of Misfortune. I want everybody listening right now to go either get that book, read about it. It's about how 22,000 U.S., New Zealand, British soldiers were left overseas in Stalin's prison network after World War II, and also Korea, and also Vietnam. And it details it with primary source documents. And here we are again heading down this road where we're going to leave Americans overseas. I mean, Sam Faddis sent out a report yesterday. He has And Magazine. And again, if you haven't ever heard of that, I would strongly urge that you check it out. But Sam Faddis had a report yesterday that what appears to be happening is that they are preparing genocide over here. Here's the quote. After we are gone, the plan is apparently to take down the internet, expel foreign journalists, and begin the Afghan version of the killing fields, end quote. Every American ally, and apparently they have completely ceased processing of Afghans over there, and only American citizens are being moved, but they don't even have the ability to move all those Americans out. This is the reason we have a military, to protect our citizens. If the military can't protect our citizens, it's not a military. I mean, it really isn't. And the problem is, from World War II, 22,000, Korea, thousands more, Vietnam, over 1,500. Now they want to do this to other American citizens? And it's not the military guys on the ground, it's the people calling the shots, which is directly the pretender. It's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Now you've got a CIA director meeting a Taliban leader and essentially capitulating at that high level. We don't capitulate to anyone in this world as Americans. If you're going to threaten our citizens, we're going to destroy you and everything around you. Unreal. Daily Mail, press secretary for the president, says the Kabul evacuation has been anything but a success, and she expects the Taliban to allow safe passage to the airport. Pretty please, Taliban. This is a total reason we're having our guest on today that we're having on, John Guandola. We're going to have him on here in a few minutes. Because they didn't understand the threat. They did not understand that in 2004, when they started the Constitution there and it included Sharia law, that this was going to be the end result. Absolutely disgusting. All right, which brings us now to the regional front. Gateway Pundit, Washington High School. Eaton, to be specific, the Eatonville High School here in Washington State is forcing unvaccinated student athletes to wear, wait for it, ankle monitors. Huh, maybe yellow stars? Everybody at this next rally on the 25th of September. That's when it's going to be, 25 September. We're going to do another rally in Spokane. It's being planned right now. We'll have more details coming out. People were wearing yellow stars this last time. They need to wear yellow stars this time. This is where this is headed. It's crazy town. Now, and people are like, well, it's not exactly the same. No, an ankle monitor isn't the same as a yellow star, but it is the same symbolism. Trying to mark people who disagree with you. Because there's a 99.5% survival rate for the vast majority of Americans, and it's asinine to do a vaccine. And you are disagreeing with that, so now we're going to mark you. Wow. We're going to mark you because you disagree with a vaccine that's mandated. I mean, come on. I'm going to stop here for a second. I want everybody to, and I'm going to remind you a little bit later too. If you do not have a Gab, G-A-B, do not have a Gab account for social media, get a Gab account run by Andrew Torba, fantastic kingdom-minded Christian, gab.com. I mentioned it a little bit on before, but it's becoming imperative. Go to Gab, follow me, at Matt Shea. Virtually, that's what it is on virtually every other social media site. But follow me on Gab. We're going to be posting a ton up there. And join the On Fire Ministries group. We're going to be posting a ton of information up there on the rallies coming up and everything. So you want to go at Matt Shea on Gap. Okay. Want to go to the next thing on the regional front. Because it has to deal with Gab. Gab has now launched a brand new job board to help unvaccinated Americans. So what Gab is doing is saying, okay, if these other businesses are going to fire you, we now have a job board. You can post your job listing there, and pro-freedom, pro-liberty businesses, businesses that have common sense can hire you now from this job board. It's fantastic. I'm going to post this up on Facebook as well. Next on the regional front, coming to us from PJ Media, over the weekend, and this is really important, over the weekend there was a lot of things happening on kind of the intelligence front. And I'm going to go through two of the big ones right now. First of all, an ammunition order to Taiwan was canceled. They're literally hanging the Taiwanese out to dry right now. In addition to that, Taiwanese semiconductor manufacturer TSMC, now most people don't even know who TSMC is. They are a major chip manufacturer. Literally, things will start shutting down if they're shut down. Here's what's happening with TSMC. They are chartering container vessels to move products to the United States in addition to supplies for the new Phoenix, Arizona facility. The chip maker is bringing long-awaited components to U.S. technology and auto manufacturers. They are investing $30 billion a year to expand production outside of Taiwan. They're essentially signaling that the Chinese may be invading Taiwan very soon. Last night, Congress failed to pass the $3.5 trillion reconciliation plan. Don't fall for that. It's just a way for there to be a little bit more negotiation by the end of September. So don't fall for that. But this is where it comes to the regional front. Those jobs and those people from Taiwan are coming to the West Coast. And they know that. So what is happening is the violence on the West Coast is beginning to increase. And what happened over the weekend in Portland, Oregon, was an Antifa van allegedly drove right at a group of patriots. Stopped. They got out. They started throwing explosive devices. Patriots beat back this Antifa assault. And then later there was literally a gun battle in downtown Portland. There's a video of it. You got to see it. But the reason that this is happening is they're targeting the West Coast because freedom fighters from places like Taiwan, all that stuff is moving now here because the Chinese are signaling this invasion of Taiwan. So understand that. Meanwhile, back at home here, I'm going to jump back up to the national front. Cuomo commutes prison sentence for terrorist murderer David Gilbert. Governor Andrew Cuomo commuted the prison sentence of terrorist murderer David Gilbert, who was convicted of murder and the deaths of three people in the 1981 Brinks armored car robbery. Listen to this. Gilbert and his partner, terrorist Kathy Bowden, helped organize the murder robbery raid with other members of the May 19 communist organization. So Cuomo is commuting the sentence of a communist terrorist as he's leaving office. But there is, again, room for encouragement and hope. 3,000 Americans in downtown Spokane are standing up. The members of the Washington State DOT, Washington State Patrol, local firefighters, local law enforcement, nurses, doctors, they're all standing up and saying enough is enough now. Join us on September 25th for the next rally, downtown Spokane. And make sure you're telling your friends and family to come too. We had 3,000, we need 10,000. Enough is enough. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for us. And if you get a chance, follow me at Matt Shea on Gab. At Matt Shea on Gab, that's where we're going to be putting out a lot of information. And you can find Patriot Radio also on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon, and a whole bunch of other social media networks in between. On virtually every social media network, I'm at Matt Shea. So you can follow me there. And I want to thank everybody that was involved on last Friday, especially Caleb, did a fantastic job putting this together. It was incredible, and it encouraged so many people. I'm telling you, everybody out there listening to my voice, stand up right now. Don't back down. This is the time. All right. It is my great honor to introduce the founder and president of Understanding the Threat, John Guandolo, once again to Patriot Radio. John, it's great to have you back on again. How are things going in your neck of the woods?
Well, we're still at war, but it's great to be on the phone and on the radio with you to share a little bit. It's obviously been a busy last week or so with all the events going on in Afghanistan and elsewhere, but the team and I are holding up well.
That's awesome. Well, it's a total shock that the Taliban are following Sharia law right now and hunting Christians down door to door. I mean, it's who could have guessed that would have happened?
Who could guess that Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, ISIS, Hamas, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, Hezbollah, and the entire Muslim world at the head of state level would tell the world we actually intend to impose Sharia on everyone, and then we're shocked when they actually start doing it. It's weird.
Really weird. So, I mean, this is the thing you've been talking about for years, literally. They didn't understand the threat when they went over there. They did not understand the enemy. So tell the listeners a little bit about that and actually what is happening on the ground right now, because I think some Americans are still insulated from what the reality is over there.
Well, I think the shortest answer is what we're experiencing and what we're watching unfold before us is the predictable. And I say predictable because we were briefing what's happening now back in 2009 and 2008. But this is what happens when generals and admirals and civilian leaders decide they don't need to take the time to actually know the enemy, yet they're willing to go to war with them. And this enemy, unanimously, whether we're talking about the Boston Marathon bombers, whether we're talking about jihadis who drive trucks through crowds of people in Europe, whether we're talking about the 9/11 hijackers, whether we're talking about the Al-Qaeda fighters on the battlefield, whether we're talking about Hamas doing business as CARE, wearing suits on Capitol Hill and in the Washington State House or the Texas State House, or whether we're talking about the Taliban in Afghanistan. They unanimously say, we do what we do because it's a command from our God to wage war against non-Muslims until Sharia is imposed on every human on earth. That's it. And in fact, all published Islamic law says that. As a matter of fact, I would challenge anybody who has a hard time with what I'm saying, produce one book of Islamic law ever published in any century, in any language, that says something other than that is the purpose of Islam. That is the purpose of Islam. The entire purpose of Islam is to impose Sharia on every human on earth. And that's why they teach it in Washington State and in California and in Texas and in Kansas and in fill in the blank at every Islamic school, and as well as Islamic schools in Canada and France and Spain and Germany and Egypt, because that's what Islam is. So I think it's amazing that what's impressive, actually, is that the deception operation launched by this adversary, the Islamic, global Islamic movement, which is what they call themselves, is so effective that the majority of people and almost 100% of Western leaders actually believe things about Islam that are actually exactly opposite of what Muslims teach their children in Islamic schools. That is what is incredible, that the deception operation is that advanced and that successful. And all you got to do is pick up a book of Islamic law to realize, wow, they're lying to us. How about that? Or just a textbook for seventh graders in the United States. Either one.
Either one. And yeah, that's why
in Islamic schools, right?
Yeah. And that's why I think it's so important for people to understand that as the Taliban is sweeping in, they are literally imposing Sharia law as they go. They're not waiting for a future date to have discussions in a Congress about it. They are literally imposing Sharia law as they go, which means they are executing non-believers of Islam.
Right. I mean, what people people have to understand, and I'll give you a couple examples of the misperceptions, is many people look around the world and they see groups of Muslims in different areas, and they compare Kuwait to Saudi Arabia to Pakistan to Afghanistan to Egypt to Jordan. And they say, well, you see, there are many different interpretations of Islam. And, you know, over here they do it this way, and over here they do it that way. That is an incorrect assumption. And that is flat out false. Because the way Sharia is applied under certain conditions is, number one, expressly described and required in Sharia. So if you're actually doing it right, under certain conditions, you can't overexpose the Islamic movement if you don't have the strength, because then your adversaries could attack you. They'll figure out what you're actually doing and attack you. Or if you go too fast as an Islamic movement, you risk losing Muslims who don't actually understand the requirements of Islam yet. That's why a huge part of what they've done in the last 60 years in Europe and the United States is building Islamic schools and doing a massive global education for Muslims to say, look, you haven't been living according to Sharia, and you're supposed to. And they have to, Muslim leaders must give individual Muslims in the Muslim community the ability and the chance to understand. They can't just like it's a requirement in Islam for jihadis, Muslims who are adherent to Sharia, to call non-Muslims to Islam and to explain to them. As a matter of fact, it's one of the laws of in the Quranic concept of war, but under the law of war, the law of jihad in Islam, you cannot just wage war on a non-Muslim unless you've called them to Islam and explained it to them. And so you say, we're inviting you to Islam, because Muhammad did it as well. And if you, you know, do the call to prayer, or you submit to Islam and pay the non-Muslim poll tax, you can live. Otherwise, we're required to wage war against you. So you have to understand that what you're seeing around the world, you have to understand it through the lens of Sharia. Now, the other piece of this is there are Muslims or people who identify as Muslim, whether they grew up as Muslim, they became Muslim, whatever, but they don't understand the requirement to live under Sharia. And when that requirement is placed upon them and they don't like it, they are given a choice. And that is comply, adhere to the law, or be killed, right? Because in Islam, once you say, I want to be a Muslim, and you take the statement of faith, the Shahada, you're in, and there's no getting out. That's the law. You must be killed, because it's treason under the Islamic State to leave Islam, because Islam is not merely a religion. That's why they teach their children on the first page of the most widely used textbook for 11-year-olds in the United States. One of the first sentences is, Islam is not a religion, however, is a complete way of life. And the purpose of Islam is to apply Allah's divine law, Sharia, on the earth. That's it. So all of this stuff is not complicated, but the other side has muddied the waters, because our leaders have exclusively used jihadis in suits to educate them about how to fight this war, which is why our leaders, who are grossly unprofessional and criminally negligent, are so clueless. They're just catastrophically clueless about all of this. And you well know it, because you've dealt with it, but when I was working with the Department of Defense, and even while I was still with the FBI, speaking to numerous senior leaders in the U.S. government, not a clue of why al-Qaeda does what it does. And I challenged people while I was in the government. Name me one thing. Show me one thing al-Qaeda ever did that violated Sharia. And nobody could. First of all, they didn't understand Sharia, but they're like, well, what about this? Or what about like that? All that's lawful. Beheading people, cutting off people's hands for stealing, setting the Jordanian pilot on fire, which was the Islamic State, ISIS. All that's lawful in Islam. Marrying a six-year-old, lawful. You know, sex slaves, lawful. Torturing people, lawful. killing Muslims who leave Islam lawful? All of that stuff, it's all lawful. That's normative and universally accepted Islam, universally doctrinally Islam. And the last thing I'll say on this that I do think is important is because there are so many, pardon me, but because there are so many lukewarm Christians out there and they're so anti-religion, they're all about their own individual spirituality and Christianity is whatever you say it is, which is obviously not true, then when something comes along that's rock-solid doctrine, they can't believe that that's something that's real because they don't actually believe Christianity has a doctrine. They just think they've been taught Christianity is, you know, as long as I'm a nice person, Jesus loves me, all I got to do is one time in my life say I love Jesus, I believe in him, and I can do whatever I want. I can kill somebody every day. I can commit all kinds of sin, but I'm still going to heaven because it's all apple pie and purple unicorns. And so when there's a doctrine that kills when you don't adhere to it, like Islam, it's so foreign to the West. And yet there was a time in the West, really just 100 years ago, less than 100 years ago, when we can read books published before 1940s about Islam, and you go back to the 1640s, the first English translation of the Quran, and the guy who wrote it said, I'm translating this because you need to know your enemies and why they want to kill you and fight you, so that I'm hoping you can learn this so you can overcome them. But see, now that, you know, our own belief structure has been, for some people, not, I'm probably not talking to the right people because your audience doesn't fit that mold, but you know what I'm talking about. This is why knowing who we are as a country and what it means to be a faithful man, woman of God is important.
Well, this brings up the next part of this. What is the end goal of allowing the demoralization of America on the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and do you really think that they might leave Americans over there like they did after World War II, like they did after Korea, like they did after Vietnam?
Well, I think the president made it very clear that they're not even apathetic. I mean, apathetic would actually be a positive emotion for our American troops over there, or the American citizens over there. I'd be surprised if American commanders allow their troops to be eaten up over there, but they might. I've never read about at any time in American history, and there have been a couple times. I think Vietnam, we had some generals who were pretty piss poor leaders, but this entire crop of general officers is so bad and has such a lack of understanding of what their oath of office means. I'm not sure they would do the right thing here. But that notwithstanding, yes, I think the American government would leave American citizens over there. I'm not sure we're going to get all our troops back because I'm not sure what the commanders, how they're going to handle this. But it's bad. I mean, it's the same thing. You know, we've had discussions on this show before. The Marines and the soldiers and the sailors and the airmen in Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Africa, and other places fought well and honorably and crushed the enemy on the battlefield. It's because our general officers and because our civilian leaders intentionally decided we don't need to know this enemy, that strategically we lost the wars. And I think it's going to be a mess over there. It's going to get much worse, I believe. And I think people over there, you just look at what the Taliban's doing. They're going around identifying people by name, where they live. And when everything clears out, I think there's going to be a slaughter of the Afghans that served in the Afghan government, those that helped the U.S. military, those that are identified as helping allied military like British and other troops. Yeah, I think they're going to be in big trouble. And that's all lawful. What we need to remember is when these people start getting slaughtered, that's all lawful in Islam, because that what those Muslims did to help the U.S. is a capital crime in Islam. So they will be getting justice according to Islam. And those same rules that the Taliban is openly talking about, saying, yeah, we're just following Sharia. That's the, if you go to the constitutions or the bylaws of the mosques in the United States, they say the exact same thing. They have the exact same objectives as the Taliban do. And that's yet where nobody seems to care about the local Islamic centers in their neighborhoods, because those are nice Muslims.
Is it just limited to Afghanistan? I mean, that's the next question. Or is this a global Islamic push now? And if they're operationalized in Afghanistan, in Europe, in Ethiopia, are they going to be operationalized in the United States?
The answer is yes, but it's a matter of priorities and a matter of timeline. And really, they don't operate necessarily on a timeline. They operate on, you know, objectives. So it's we're going to see an increase in North America, in Europe, in the Middle East and Africa, and we're already seeing it in Africa with Christians being slaughtered, Muslims who have turned from Islam being killed. So you're seeing that. You're seeing an uptick of that in Africa right now, but we're clearly getting clear intelligence that that is going to be on the uptick. And there, in North America, the Islamic leaders are telling the Islamic community to prepare for jihad. So all of that's happening. But Europe, what we suspect, what understanding the threat sees, is that as the next wave of Muslims roll into Europe, which is already, those kind of wheels are already started, you're going to see Europe and parts of Europe go kinetic. And unlike in the 8th century and in the 11th century and the 17th century, when the armies, and of course it was pretty much continuous, but kind of those are a few of the high points, when the armies of Muhammad, you know, were really beating on the door of Europe in the Mediterranean, we're going to see, instead of the armies rolling in, the armies rising up from within with probably some external help. But the armies are already in Europe, and they're among the Muslim population that's already there. And so most European police forces and communities are overwhelmed already. Imagine when the tens of thousands of these Muslims stand up and are armed and start slaughtering people in the streets. And then people are going to say, how did this happen? Well, because you let it. And, you know, you didn't do anything about it. You kept electing people that kept doing it. And so it's, at some point, you have to pay for this. And in the United States, we're doing the same thing. When you elect presidents that decide Islam's a religion of peace, which is what Mr. Clinton said, Mr. Bush said, Mr. Obama said, Mr. Biden said, Mr. Trump's the only one that didn't say it, and you give them positions of authority and advisory positions inside the federal government in senior and key positions for decades, you're pretty much asking to have it handed to you. And so the timeline or the sequence of events will be, it's going to rise up in around the world, Africa, Middle East, and on the heels, likely on the heels of the next influx of Muslims into Europe, soon thereafter, we're going to see the violence significantly escalate. That's our intelligence assessment. And then it will be after countries fall in Europe, or as they're falling, that we'll see things pick up in the United States in major ways. Now, this does not mean that there will not be, number one, individual acts of jihad in Europe and the United States because of what's happening in Afghanistan, because people are emboldened, and that's lawful in Islam. Or actually sanctioned coordinated events by groups like Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah, the Islamic State, even Taliban, although they will use their allies in Al-Qaeda, probably, doing operations in the United States and Europe to create terror and fear selectively. So you may see that, but I'm talking major warfare when I talk about what's going to happen in Europe. We're talking about nations being overtaken. And as you know, and as we discussed on this show, there are several European nations that are close to the brink as it is. So that's hopefully that answers the question of what we can expect in the next 6 to 12 months.
So in the last 4 minutes that we have left, UTT is putting something together that I think is changing the game on the ground around the country. And I'd like you to go into that, because a lot of Americans are like, okay, what I know that's, this is what's going on. What do I do next?
Right. Well, for us, this war, the entire war, the assault on our culture, the assault by the communists at the local, state, national level, and international level into Europe and North America, the Islamic movement, because of the nature of the war and because our federal government is so broken, and we've been assessing this now for, I've been doing this for 19 years, it's at the local level. We've been saying this for probably since 2005 when I was still in the FBI. It's at the local level we're going to win or lose this war. And so what we're doing is putting the vast majority of our time and effort into building liberty teams, teams of citizens at the ground level, together in as many places as quickly as we can. And these are teams that are that go through our 3-day into action program, which is kind of the gateway, and we show them how do you set up a team. And it can be from groups that already exist. Well, I'm already in a group. Well, so what? Take a handful of those people in the group or everyone in the group and get them trained. And some of them can spend their time doing different things once you understand these threats. So what we do is we teach people how to map out individuals and organizations that are hostile in their area, in their local area, and how to disrupt and dismantle what they're doing. So disrupt their operations and dismantle their networks lawfully, but very aggressively. And that's what we do that nobody else does. Figuring out what they're doing, how they're doing it, and really disrupting their operations. And we need to get that done in as many places as possible. So what we're doing is everything revolves around getting people through into action training, and telling people either get trained and get in the fight or fund the war effort. So we tell people if you don't want to, and you can do anything from speaking to your local officials to actually investigating these bad people and giving a pack to your local police, or just disrupting their operations. And as you've heard me say before, limited only by your experience, your training, and your creativity. Because there are plenty of ways to screw with these guys and disrupt what they're doing. But it's got to begin at the local level. It really begins and ends there. And if you get local police involved and they can help, great. But most police in most areas don't understand this, and that's a longer gain. And I mean, it's going to take longer to get them on board, whereas everything we're talking about is constitutionally protected activity. And you're actually advancing the law. You're advancing liberty. That's what all this is about. And so, number one, get people into the Into Action training program. We do those online and in person, and you can contact us through our contact page at understandingthethreat.com. And if none of that, kind of getting involved, that's not your bag, then we would ask you to help support us, either by giving some amount every month, or if you've got the resources to do it, support this as much as you can, because the time is almost up, and we need to get as many people to understand this and to get active at the ground level as possible.
All right. 1 minute. Will Joe Biden be president in January?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I mean, it's with everything going on, it's amazing he is in the White House right now, to me. And so I think anything is possible at this point. And nothing is really off the table. I've seen some things happen in the last few months that are, I mean, laws have been broken, treason's been committed, sedition's been committed, and not one person in 5 years has gone to jail. So nobody's been, for the debacle in Afghanistan, nobody's been fired, nobody's resigned. You know, I always tell people it's impressive. After the Mumbai attacks, the Minister of Security in India resigned like 2 days after it happened. He said, that was my responsibility. I'm stepping down. Nobody did that after 9/11. No one was fired. Nobody's been fired yet. We lost the wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria. No generals fired. Nobody held accountable. It's just we just don't care. And Americans are still a little apathetic. Still not. Apparently, it's not enough to get people really into action, and that's what we're doing. We're trying to get people engaged and get them moving at the ground level.
John Guandolo, president, founder of Understanding the Threat. Thanks so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today, and keep up the fight. You guys are doing a fantastic job, and the tide is beginning to turn.
Thank you very much. I agree. There's great hope here. God bless you and your whole team.
All right. God bless. John Guandolo, understandingthethreat.com, and you can see a lot of the back articles and resources, too, the primary sources of a lot of what we just talked about, and understanding the enemy, understanding the threat to Western civilization and Christendom. This is Matt Shea. Thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.